ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय History of the life of Arjuna, text number 33. Kashyapa kutaha yatha, kasmat asyam nishidata, kindeva upadevaya. Yuyam kim siri sattama Kashyava kuta ayyatha Kasmat asyam nishidata Kindira upadevaya Yuyam kim siri sattama Kasha, his servants, Va, or Kuta, from where? Ayata, have you come? Kashmat, what is the reason? Asha, the taking away of this Ajneya, the Shayidata. Are you forbidding? Kim? Whether? Devaha? Demigods? Upadeva? Sub-demigods? Yaha? Who? Uyam? All of you? Kim? Whether? Siddha Saptamaha? The best of the perfected beings, the pure devotees.
The best of the perfected beings, the pure devotees.
Dear Siddhas, so this is the border carriers of Yamaraj speaking, the Yamadutas, to the border carriers of Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas. Dear Siddhas, whose servants are you? Where have you come from? And why are you forbidding us to touch the body of Arjuna? Are you demigods from the heavenly planets? Are you sub-demigods? Or are you the best of devotees? Reported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The most significant word in this verse is Siddha Sattama, which means the best of the perfect. In Bhagavad Gita 7.3 it is said, Manushyanam Sahasrasyu Hasti Yatadi Siddhaye. Out of millions of persons, one may try to become Siddha perfect. Or in other words, self-realized. A self-realized person knows that he is not the body, but a spiritual soul, a humble Vimasana. At the present moment, practically everyone is unaware of this fact, but one who understands this has attained perfection and is therefore called Siddha. When one understands that the soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, and one thus engages in the devotional service of the Supreme Soul, one becomes Siddha Sattama. One is then eligible to live in the Vaikuntha planets or Krishna Loka. The word Siddha Sattama therefore refers to a liberated, pure devotee. Since the Yamadutas are servants of Yamaraj, who is also one of the Siddha-Sattvas, they knew that a Siddha-Sattva is above the demigods and sub-demigods and indeed above all the divinities within this material world. The Yamadutas therefore inquired why the Vishnudutas were present where a sinful man was going to die. It should also be noted that Ajmer was not yet dead, for the Yamadutas were trying to snatch the soul from his heart. They could not take the soul, and therefore Ajmer was not dead. This will be revealed in later verses. Ajmer was simply in an unconscious state when the argument was in progress between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. The conclusion of the argument was to be a decision regarding who would claim the soul of Ajmer. So Srila Prabhupada begins his explanation of this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. To understand what a siddha-sattva or the best of the perfect souls are, one has to understand how we become perfect, how we become more perfect, and how we become much perfect. And Srila Prabhupada explains that he quotes a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, of course, as you notice, that we're in the sixth canto, we're in the tenth canto, very elevated topics. The fundamental understanding is always in the Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is the essential literature. If one understands Bhagavad Gita properly, then of course it is possible for one to understand all Vedic literatures and also revealed scriptures such as the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the postgraduate study. That is what the Siddha-Sattvas relish, what the liberated person relish the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. They come to the platform of the Siddha-Sattva. One has to first understand Gita, which begins with the understanding that a hungry Muslim claims the spirit of soul. So these instructions, of course, begin in the second chapter, and I'll read the verse from the second chapter. That which pervades the entire body, you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. I'll read some of the verbal. Anyone can understand what is spread all over the body? It is consciousness. Everyone is conscious of the pains and pleasures of the body, in part or as a whole. This spreading of consciousness is limited within one's own body. A very important understanding of the any individual soul, any human entity in this world, if there is consciousness, if there are signs of life, there is a soul present. And that soul is present, we can see, because there is consciousness. Even in the plants, often, there have been studies which I've enjoyed doing myself where they can detect. according to Srikha, other entities. So, therefore, each and every body is the embodiment of the individual soul, and the symptom of the soul's presence is perceived as individual consciousness. So, each and every one of us is an individual spirit soul. So, I'm a spirit soul, we're a spirit soul. There are spirit souls down the courtyard, there are many different entities. I have no idea what they're doing, I have no idea what they're thinking, because I'm only conscious of my body. And the soul is just, so, you know, these things make perfect sense, don't they? They're individual. And of course the soul, also being described in the Bhagavad Gita, is part of the superior energy of the Lord, his spiritual energy. So consciousness, so the different elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. Consciousness is none of those. It's a separate element. It's not formed by the combination of the body, therefore we see. If consciousness leaves the body, all the same elements are there, but something is missing, and that is consciousness and the life, the soul has left. So an element left the body, otherwise all the other material elements are still there. So it's not one of those, but something left. And that, what is it left? Consciousness. Everyone can see that. It's not difficult to understand. And that consciousness, therefore not being part of, not one of the material elements, is a spiritual element, and that is the soul, the individual soul. So the spiritual title Upanishad confirms this, that when the upper core point of the head is divided into 100 parts, and again each of such parts is further divided into 100 parts, each such part is a measurement of the dimension of the spiritual soul. Right, so basically, 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. So the tip means the smallest root tip at the end. You can't even see that. But 1/10,000th of that. Smaller than the atom, smaller than any material element that can be seen by the most powerful material instruments. So in other words, they have cameras which they fly up into space, and from space they could detect a $2 coin on the moon. That's how powerful the cameras are. So they are very powerful, but they cannot see the soul. That's the fact. From just above the Earth's atmosphere, the cameras can see the tip of a coin on the moon. That's how powerful. So they have other machines they can sort of where they can't quite see the smallest material particles, but the way they interact with other small particles that they do know present indicates that they're there. So in the same way, this is smaller than any of those, but we can understand it's present in a scientific way, the same scientific formula. Just like you can explain to a child, you can't see the wind, but you see the trees moving. The trees are moving, the wind is there. And like a 3-4-year-old child can understand that. You can't see everything, but we know it's there, it's obvious, because the wind is blowing. They can feel the wind on their face on a windy day, and they know that that same wind is blowing there. So in the same way, we have consciousness, we can feel our consciousness, and we can see the consciousness in the community, and that is just the soul. So we know it's there. It is an element, it's very small. So now, To understand that, one is considered siddha. This atomic soul is floating in the five kinds of air. Prana, apana, jnana, samana, and udana is situated within the heart. So it's in the heart and it floats in the life air. And it spreads its influence all over the body of the living entities. When the soul is purified from the contamination of five kinds of material air, its spiritual influence is exhibited. The Hatha Yoga system is meant for controlling five kinds of air, encircling the pure soul by different kinds of sitting postures, not for any material profit, but for the liberation of the minute soul from the entanglement of the material atmosphere. See? So, yogis, if they, the perfection of yoga, in the third stage, is it by practicing yogic asanas and sitting postures and breathing techniques, they can have full control of the life is in such a way as to realize how the soul is should not be controlled by the life is, but should be the controller of the life. So when the soul becomes liberated, they're considered those yogis have become perfect. So certainly lifetimes of yogi practice, but the devotee will avoid all that trouble and just hear from the Gita and from the scriptures, you're a spirit soul. If you practice devotional service, then automatically, by the grace of the Lord, you will become detached from the physical body, the subtle body, life is everything. You become liberated from them in this lifetime, by the grace of the Lord. So that is it. And then, it describes here that so the constitution of the atomic soul is admitted in all great literatures, and it is actually felt in the practical experience of any sane man. So any sane person hearing those things, you know, can easily accept this on the spirit soul. I'm the conscious being within the body that has nothing to do with the material element. If one is sane, a little purified and intelligent, any person in the world can understand that. Any five-year-old child can understand that. You explain it to them, and I've seen that. I've explained it to my children, I've explained it to hundreds and hundreds of children, you know, from even five and younger, and they just get it. You know? So the body is like a vehicle, a car, and you're the driver. You live forever, the body doesn't. So, only an insane man can think of this atomic soul as all-pervading vision. So then, of course, people who can't accept themselves as a soul, that's one thing, but people who accept that yes, I'm spiritual, but I am the all-pervading Vishnu. Vishnu is the name of the Lord has many names, the Supreme Absolute Truth. He has three features: Brahman, So per month we're talking about 100 months. I am Brahman. I am Spirit. So we can say, I am Brahman. But the Lord can also say, I am Brahman. Because the entire Brahman spiritual energy is just one of his spiritual potencies. And all the little particles of Brahman are actually his, part of his internal spiritual potency. I say he can always manage. So, and his very form also is constituted of that same spiritual potency. So he is, therefore, the Vedic aphorism, Tatvamasi, you are the Supreme Brahman, can be properly applied to Krishna. So he is Brahman. And we can say we are Brahman, but he is the Supreme Brahman, who is the particle of that. And so one feature of the Lord is that Brahman spiritual energy, effulgent energy, which also spreads throughout the whole spiritual sky. Another feature of the Lord, so that is the feature of Sat, existence. So the previous verse of this describes that if something exists, it means, it refers to there is something spiritual. It doesn't refer to anything else. If something exists, then we're referring to something spiritual. Because if something exists, it exists eternally. If it doesn't exist eternally, it appears and disappears, then it doesn't exist. It's an apparition. If something doesn't exist, it's matter. For those terms. So, Sat, or the feature of existence, is actually an aspect of the Supreme Lord. His Sat feature is this Brahman spiritual energy which manifests everything in spiritual existence. The Lord's Brahman spiritual energy. Chit means that that spiritual energy is also conscious. And as we said, the Supreme Lord is the supreme existence. He is the whole supreme existence. He is also the supreme feature of existence and knowledge. And that is the form of vision, Sat-Chit. Represented as a super soul. And secondly, he is also the supreme feature of Bhagavan Satyananda, the reservoir of all spiritual bliss. And that is Bhagavan, and that is the feature of Krishna and his different expansions right now. And that, so he is that supreme Satyananda Vigraha. The form, Vigraha, the form, this is what we have here, Krishna. So, now, describes here that this atomic soul is definitely there in the heart along with the super soul, so they're both in it, and thus all energies of the body, movement, are emanating from this part of the body. So from the heart, the soul is situated there, and the super soul is there. And so the source of energy to the whole body is emanating from the heart. The corpuscles, which carry the oxygen from the lungs, gather energy from the soul. So this is the mystery the medical science are trying to understand. They try and research that. You know, it's like is there a bacteria in there or something? Is a source of energy that just keeps things going, and even when things stop mechanically, the energy allows it to kick back in. Yeah. So it's like a car, right? Previously you had a car, and say you're driving down the road, yeah, Say you're driving in your car and it conks out while you're driving. So the engine has literally stopped. If you're quick enough, you can get out and push the car while holding onto the steering wheel. But because the battery is still there, the source of energy will still keep the mechanically kick back in, and you jump back in and drive up there, doesn't it? Yeah. Because the source of energy, if the source of energy wasn't there, it wouldn't happen. So there's a constant source of energy coming from the soul. And therefore, even if there's mechanical problems, but when the soul leaves, then you've got real problems. You cannot get that mechanism to kick back in because there's no source of energy. As you say, the corpuscles which carry the oxygen from the lungs, they get that energy from the soul. When the soul passes away from this position, the activity of blood generating fusion ceases. Medical science accepts the importance of the red corpuscles, but it cannot ascertain the source of energy is the soul. Medical science, however, does admit that the heart is the seat of all energies in the body. So we concur with medical science, but they have to understand the presence of that energy source, the soul. To solve the mystery.
To the dead persons.
What's that?
To the dead persons.
Yeah. So, yes. Now, if we understand ourselves, then we can understand the Supreme Soul. If we understand, yes, I am a spirit soul, then if someone says this is a Supreme Soul, first of all, we'll say, yes, I accept spirit, because I'm a spirit. So, the next step, if we cannot accept that we're a spirit soul, how do we accept the Supreme Soul? Literally, not possible. We have to come to that understanding, I am a soul, I'm Brahmasmi, then accepting the Supreme Soul, that there is an all-knowing Supreme Lord within each body, and which makes sense, we won't go into it too much, but happy living entities are able to do what they're doing. So my wife and I were traveling home the other day, and as we've seen before, you see these cloud of little insects, tiny little insects, and they fly around like 100 miles an hour practically. Have you ever seen that? As the sun's coming down, it's like a dance, oh, the sun's coming down, and they're all hurry ball, and they're dancing and dancing. They're coming so fast. There's thousands of them, and none of them touch each other. About thousands of them. We can't get, five planes in the sky without, touching their wings and, smashing like that. Maybe it's like it's, nothing. And the same, so an every living entity has these mystical abilities. How did they learn that? You know what it takes to become a pilot? You want to become a pilot. They're like a lot of education. They have to be a real steady sort of a person, really, control mind. And if there's something goes wrong, they have to really okay, we're in emergency mode. 500 people could die if I don't, work out what this problem is before we get to the ground. They're special, sort of very intelligent person. How did these souls in these little bodies fly greater than the greatest pilots in our world? Without that, they have no universities, there's no training. They just do it. That's a super soul. They're given that understanding. They're given an understanding to do things. To utilize the machine that they're given. So a pilot can give them a plane, and they have to learn to fly that. These spirit souls, they're given a machine that flies better than any of our planes, and they already know how to fly. So, there's the presence of the super soul. we see that in many different ways. So then, if we understand, of course, that is all confidential knowledge. So we've got confidential, the siddha. The siddha, on a higher level, who understands the real understanding of the soul. And what is my relationship with the Supreme Soul? The Supreme Soul is the whole, sat, chit, ananda. I am a little part. That makes me, in language, the eternal servant of God. So, now, and that, now, the eternal servant of God, that's confidential knowledge. If one understands, one should engage in favorable devotional service in one's eternal intimate relationship with the Spirit. The most confidential knowledge is how to execute pure devotional service on a 100% liberated platform, fit to become an inhabitant of the spiritual world. And that's what is being described here. Siddha Satana. Now, these siddha satanas, they're not residents of this world, just like the Vishnu Dutas. They came to rescue the soul of Arjuna. But, you know, these Yamadutas, you know, they're thinking they're demigods. Sub-demigods, that can't be. You know, you have the power to override Yamaraj. They're beautiful, ever fresh, youthful bodies. So then, are you the residents of the spiritual world? So this is. So they're obviously not from this part of the world. The Lord of the Yamadutas. Yamaraj is also a Siddha Satana. But he resides in the Batala regions, you know, where simple persons are punished. So Yamaraj looks after the simple persons, particularly. Not everyone. He's in charge of the simple persons. And therefore he resides in those Batala regions, but he's not a resident, as Jesus, he said, to be, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. That's how we should be. Because we're actually supposed to home is what we should return to our home. So the Lord sends the Siddha Satana to this world to save the souls from going to the Bodhi Yamaraj to be punished in the cycle of being birth and death in millions and millions of different forms. And so Srila Prabhupada, of course, is one of them. We understand that there must be life. There is life on all planets. Krishna says in the Gita, I spoke to the sun god millions and millions and millions of years ago. And he says, Arjuna, you are with me. You can get it. Because Arjuna has to change bodies. But Krishna never changes bodies. If he appears millions and millions of years ago, he will still be a formal Krishna. If he appears in the next day of Brahma, he'll be exactly the same. Every time we, the soul, come into another body, we accept another body, and we forget everything. Only those in the spiritual world are called infallible, because they don't change their bodies. The Vishnu Dutas, the residents of the spiritual world, don't change their bodies. So even Arjuna, he's a liberated person. because he had to change his body, he also forgot. So, and the moon came. You know, it's just going on over the year. Those who perform Kundi Kundi, the highest activities, they can go to the moon planet, where they live for 10,000 years of the demigods. Now, we may say that they've been to the moon, and no one saw them, the inhabitants of the moon. But that doesn't mean that they're not there. They're obviously in bodies, you can't see by the gross material senses. And so, for instance, here on Earth, the vast majority of people will accept that sometimes when people die, their subtle body hangs around. And many, many people, including myself, have had all sorts of different experiences where you come across a ghostly body, Prabhupada himself. When he was in India, didn't have anywhere to stay. There was an old sort of abandoned house, nice house. So Prabhupada took that, but the warning was, it's haunted. And the ghost came to Prabhupada. Prabhupada's right, he looked. It wasn't Catholic, but any ghost. He was trying to scare the Prabhupada out. The Prabhupada just speaks to him. Are you bothering me? I'm doing so. So there was a Krishna. Move on. So, you know, these things are there. Once in Hawaii, one of the Prabhupada's disciples, she came to me to Prabhupada. Because they were standing near the crater, and there was a couple who saw a UFO was flying over the crater, flew up in the sky. Prabhupada said something like, "Are they friendly?" So, you know, but they're not deceivable. Even on this earth, we can have a living entity or a multitude of living on the subtle platform surrounding us, we have no understanding that they're there. And they're very low grade subtle bodies. You know, on the, you know, in Tamaguna, which is more a grosser than a subtle body. The higher planets, the very high grade Satyaguna level of subtle body. How's it possible to see? So, but these Vishnu Duthas, they're Siddha Sattva. So Srila Prabhupada is a Siddha Sattva. That's how the Vishnu Duthas came to this world to save the conditioned souls from the fluxes of the material energy from having to face the yagraj and be punished for so many sinful activities again and again and again. And although he was in this world, he was not of this world. And his business in this world was nothing to do in this world, but on behalf of the Supreme Lord. And he, therefore, he gave the process of devotional service, that if we surrender to the Supreme Lord, if we understand that he's the Supreme Lord, all energy, material energy and spiritual energy, and although we're a spirit soul, which is superior to the material energy, but we are controlled by the material energy, because the material energy acts under the divine will of the Supreme Lord. And as described in this these verses, the Lord is like a magician. the Sridhara Tara Upanishad. So it describes here, first of all, Prabhupada saying in his purport, inferior material nature is defined here as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by the divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm as follows. Although Maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. So, if someone is placed at sometimes magicians in magic, and everyone is bewildered, oh, he's really doing that. You know, he's really floating. You know, he actually saw that lady in the car. You know, someone screaming. You know. But those who are not in illusion, they'll point out, no, you see what the magician is doing? This is a trick. It's like this. So they can deceive. They can expose to others who cannot see. Or someone who is bound, so if they're bound by illusion, then they need someone who's unbound to help them. If we're bound by ropes, we need someone who is not bound by ropes. So, unwind us. If we're drowning in the ocean, material ocean, we need someone who can fly across the ocean easily, pick us up to deliver us. But they're also drowning in the middle of the ocean, they cannot do anything. So these are the siddha sattvas. So Srila Prabhupada, he came to teach the teaching of the Gita that if you want to go back to the spiritual world to be eternally liberated, then follow the principles of the Bhagavad Gita. And if we follow the principle is that, as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, 7.14, this divine energy mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So, if we take the devotional service, the supreme true soul, who is controlling the material energy, which keeps us bound in this cycle of birth and death in one body after another, under the clutches of material energy, that same supreme personality, the Godhead, can release us from that control. And that is the only way to actually become liberated. Very easy process. And that is what is called the Bhagavad Gita, and therefore we are distributing the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita all over the world. The secret, though, to the Gita is that it can only be understood in the association of devotees. Now, in the Gita, Krishna says, if you approach my devotee, then you'll understand the Gita. He said in Arjuna, because you're my devotee, I'll teach you this, you can understand. Because you're not envious of me, you'll accept that yes, there is God, and yes, I should surrender, then you can understand. So, a person who has faith in the Gita will hear it from a devotee. If a person has no faith in the Gita, they will disregard that instruction and not hear it from the body, and not make any progress. So people say, yes, I know the Gita so well from academic scholarship, but, you know, we don't, you know, follow these devotees of Krishna who accept an ordinary man as a, you know, human being as well. So, yeah, we don't listen to them, we don't discuss with them. We have more scientific academic knowledge. And because of that, They cannot understand. So the secret of the Gita is, the Prabhupada, therefore he created this International Society of Krishna Consciousness. You can't just distribute the books. You actually have to distribute devotees with the books. And lots of shahadah. Because to understand the Gita, you actually have to associate with devotees. Of course, we associate with devotees by reading Prabhupada's purports. In one sense, that is hearing Prabhupada. If we read Prabhupada's purports and translations of the Gita, we are associating with a Siddhartha Satana. And what happens, Krishna explains that in the association of my devotees, there are mystic potencies in that process of just sitting and hearing from devotees. And if one does that, Krishna releases those mystic potencies and delivers that person. They are fully empowered by Krishna to go back to God. Sage Asana. If they can just sit and hear in association with those. If one approaches the Gita as an academic or a scholar, what have you, they cannot make any progress in the understanding of the Bhagavad Gita because they're faithless from the very beginning. So now, therefore, the material energy for the devotees, then we become, as mentioned in the next verse, chapter 9, 940. If you get released from material energy, you have to be under one of the Lord's energies. So you're immediately placed under the Devi Prakriti, the spiritual energy. And therefore, you're not controlled by the material energy, but you're under the protection of spiritual energy. Just like Prabhupada gives the example. A big elephant happens to be down the ocean, there's a big storm, tidal wave. Elephants are so powerful. Some elephants can be, you know, more powerful than 10,000 other elephants. But the ocean, a big storm, the waves will wash them away and drown. But in that same water, the fish who is taking shelter of the ocean, little fish, they can even swim against the current. They have no problem. So, by the grace of the Lord, because we take shelter of His spiritual energy, even though we're in the material world, it doesn't touch one. Because one is protected by the supreme power of the Lord, just like a little fish is protected by the ocean. But the elephant's not. And therefore, the devotee's position in the material world, for all others who don't surrender, their position is like the rat in the mouth of a cat, death and Yamaraj. So the devotee are like the little kitten in the mouth of the same cat. It's the same material energy, but they're being looked after very carefully and protected. So this material world for others not surrendered is like death at every step. And for the devotees, it's just as good as Vaikuntha. They're one step away from Vaikuntha. And they see this world as Vaikuntha because everywhere they see Krishna. Okay. You know, just on finishing, also that when we talk of pure devotion, we talk of it in two senses. One, how we're free from the material energy. But in a higher sense, on a spiritual platform, some devotees will go back to Vaikuntha, when the Rani is there, and enjoy the great opulence of living in the realm of God, even having forms exactly like God. So they can also have a chakra if they like. And a club. And so they can have weapons as powerful as the Lord's. Their forms, it's, you know, their forms are identical with the Supreme Lord in every way. The Lord has a couple of distinguishing marks, otherwise that they share equal confidence by the grace of the Lord. Those who are attracted by the feature of the Lord because he's God, because I can go to the spiritual world with this unlimited spiritual openness, because I can have that beautiful form just like the Lord's. That is pure devotion, but not the purest devotion. So there's another level, strictly speaking, when we speak of pure devotees in the topmost level, their only business is to love the Lord and serve him in love. They have no desire to even be liberated unto the bottom of the planets, to attain the bodily features of the Lord, or to enjoy the opulence of the bottom of the planets. That would go to hell to serve the Lord out of love. Anywhere the Lord would send them through service, they would go out of love. That's all they want. Serve the Lord in love. If we get these siddha satsangas that come to this material world, oh, if the Lord wants me to come here and go through all the difficulties, preach to some consciousness, then that's your own. That will be my own. That will be my greatest happiness. That will be a greater opportunity to go into the life. I can serve my Lord in love, knowing that he is happy with me. So that is a high. So especially those preachers who have pure love for Krishna and dedicate their lives to helping others become Krishna conscious. That is good. Prabhupada mentions that. I'll just read one last verse from the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This is Bhagavad Gita 5:25 on the third verses. Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, and who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. Now, Prabhupada's third point he mentions, only a person who is fully in Krishna consciousness can be said to be engaged in welfare work for all living. When a person is actually acknowledged that Krishna is the fountainhead of everything, then when he acts in that spirit, he acts for everyone. The suffering of humanity are due to forgiveness of Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend. Therefore, to act to revive this consciousness within the entire human society is the highest welfare work. One cannot be engaged in such first-class work without being liberated in the supreme. One has to, again, pointing that it's a very elevated task. A Krishna conscious person has no doubt about the supremacy of Krishna. He has no doubt because he is completely free from all sins, and this is the state of divine love. This perfection stage of the siddha satsangas. They're doing. No, you go to Vaikuntha. You go to Vaikuntha. Let you all go to Vaikuntha. I will stay here in the village. That is the mind. I'll leave it there. If anyone has any questions or comments.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
In 12th canto, 8th chapter, it's written that when Parthini Rishi was full of his penances and all that, and Indra had sent those party to disturb him, but he was not disturbed. But then Lord Krishna gave Nar Narayan to calculate Parthini Rishi's penances. So my question is, as you said, Arjuna, what sort of body he got in that Nar Narayan? Because Nar Narayan means Arjuna and Nar and Krishna and Narayan. So it's a combination. So what sort of body Arjuna got?
So Narayan Rishi, we know that they are answers.
Yeah.
Of Krishna in Arjuna. So one of the forms of Krishna and Arjuna accept is their form as Narayana Rishi. So Narayana, Arjuna, answer of Arjuna, Narayana, answer of Krishna. And when Krishna and Arjuna went to Siddhartha Vishnu, because the son of the Brahma was taken, Mahavishnu confirmed also, yes, you are Vishnu. So, yes, that Arjuna is a paternal relation of the Lord, spiritual. But, you know, for the purpose of speaking Bhagavad the Gita, then Arjuna may be placed in a position where he forgets. So he may change body and forget, and that gives Krishna the opportunity to speak Bhagavad the Gita. But here's an issue.
Why do the people want to have the same body as the Lord in the Buddha? Is it that they have got a bit less humility?
Well, you know, so for instance, it's because of love of Krishna. So in the spiritual world, everyone say loves Narayan in one of his different forms, it's so beautiful. And wherever you look, everyone reminds you of the person you love the most. So I'll give you a material example. So in this world, people have their, they don't love Narayan, they might love Michael Jackson. And so everyone wants to dress like Michael Jackson. Or Elvis Presley. You know, so currently in the world there's probably, you know, 500,000 Elvis Presleys in Japan, in China, and they all look exactly like Elvis. They sound like Elvis. And they have inventions. And they all go there dressed like Elvis. Because they love Elvis. Everyone they see reminds them of Elvis. Oh, Elvis said this, he sang like this, he dressed like this. So in the spiritual world, it helps us to absorb ourselves in the love of God. And the other thing is that, you know, the Lord is very kind that on the absolute platform there's no difference between the master and the servant. That's the Lord's mission. So, you know, he is there, eternally, but the Lord and his devotees enjoy equally the opulence of our kingdom. That's the wonder. You know, here we have a master, advising their English, they're trying to hold you down. So you never come up to that, you know, a position where you might take that position, take that decision. Every, in the spiritual world, the master is filled with love.
I think someday, you know, that in the servants of the king, even in the spiritual world, they enjoy the same opulence as the king.
Yes.
They have food and everything, you know.
Yes, that's the ninth chapter of that.
So, what happened to the king?
I'll just mention, for those who can't hear that at home, that the the servant enjoys on an equal platform with the king, they live in the same palace. In fact, you know, as Prabhupada mentioned also, to serve the king or the queen, one has to come to that platform. One has to know how to behave in the presence of the king.
Well,
you have to have the same qualities that fit the king.
Yeah.
So therefore, again, they have those qualities and features.
So that's what they look like.
Well, there are a multitude of different reasons. When persons die, and they have an appreciation for the beauty of the Lord, and they remember that at the time of death, and they are attracted to Vaikuntha, because they think that is higher than Brajavasi, the Braja in the spiritual world. And they think being in the opulence of God is higher than being in the simple village. Said, they don't understand. Therefore, if they die like that, then they attain a form like the Lord's. So, that which they are eternally attracted to, literally, they can be in the association of that Supreme Lord, and their very form is like the Supreme Lord's. As I explained, in this world we have our movie stars, we have our rock singers. People want to be like them. People would do plastic surgery. You know, they would spend millions and millions of dollars. They would go to great lengths to imitate the person they adore, right down to the last detail. Because that is the object of their affection or attachment. So it's natural.
Okay.
Okay. Yes.
I'm Hare Krishna. Who are you? So you mentioned that the love for God and the serving attitude is higher. And then we hear that to understand and to love Krishna, first of all, we need to know how great he is, and then we get into that loving exchange. So in devotional practice, when does the transformation occur? We see God as great, and then we see him as our Lord, the Lord. Like, when does the transformation occur?
So, the transformation from, trying to understand the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to understand what is God, who is God, what are his energies, how do they work, that knowledge increases our faith, and our faith allows us to advance more than devotional service. So faith, knowledge and faith is very important. As we progress in devotional service, we naturally develop, we become detached from the material world and attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to the devotees, we associate with this world. If we associate with those who are attracted to the Vaikuntha mood and abode of the Lord, we may become attached and follow their mood of devotional service, aspiring for Vaikuntha. And therefore, that attachment to the knowing the glories of the Lord and attaining the opulent abode of the Lord will take us to Vaikuntha. But if our attachment develops by associating with devotees who have attachment to Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, then our devotional mood and activities are slightly different. That yes, that we also are guided to hear and chant, especially in the association of such devotees. So on the platform of Vidinaga or going to Vaikuntha, very strict adherence to the regulative principles, especially deity worship, is prominent. Archana and study of the Shastras. On the platform of Raghunath, developing our attachment to Krishna, following the footsteps of the Vrajabhasis, more prominent services are hearing, chanting and remembering, especially in relationship those adhering and chanting which helps us to always meditate upon Krishna in particular. So, therefore, quite often the preaching is a predominance of hearing and chanting and remembering. And in preaching, one is completely liberated from any attachment to material energy, but certain Vedic principles may not be very significant. But on the platform of attaining Vaikuntha, the rules and regulations of the Shastras may be adhered to even at the expense of preaching or even at the expense of hearing and chanting and remembering. And as Prabhupada mentions in his verbals, it may appear that those who adhere more strongly to those principles are more advanced, but that's not the case. So, the development of love, so for instance, you'll hear Prabhupada say many times, even in his purports and in his lectures, yes, we should, you know, try to understand Krishna. It's very important to understand Krishna, that is mentioned in the Gita, to develop that faith. If our faith is strong, we don't have any doubts, we must try and develop not just more knowledge, love. But out of love, I live for Krishna. So, and that's what Prabhupada, you know, because we associate with Prabhupada, you see, that's You know, you look at the Prabhupada's disciples, you know, had love for Krishna. How much did they understand? They didn't even have all the books. You know, they got that from associating with Prabhupada. Had love. Yes, they can understand more. But above that, daily, your development of love is the goal of that understanding. If we develop knowledge and don't come to the point of pure love for Krishna, then we just keep developing knowledge. It can get us away. Can't get us away.
One small thing from the previous question. If we have got knowledge of Krishna, we have got love for Krishna, and if I am not preaching, then what is my fault?
But if we're not preaching, then we serve the preachers, and that's as good as. It's absolute. Prabhupada used to give this example that in the British used to have a saying, keep the train moving. So every worker, whether they're putting down the stones, putting down the tracks, cleaning the carriage, whatever, from start to finish, they've all got the one goal. Keep that train moving. Okay. So whether you're directly preaching or you're supporting the preaching movement in any possible, in any way, your support is fine. You're supporting the preaching movement. Preaching will go on. You give 1 cent to this one, you know, ultimately this movement is preached all over the world. The real world is the real process to get back to the spiritual world. But no one wants to do anything that we can get. So whatever we do, but we should have that mood. We should cultivate that mood that if Krishna really loves, you know, there is no devotee more dear to me than one who preaches Krishna consciousness, then I want to be dear to Krishna. I want to love, show Krishna I love him and I want him to love me. For that purpose, we do our activities. If we're doing activities for the sake of, it's there in Shastra, I must do this, rather than out of, you know, I'm doing everything I can to develop that love for Krishna. May he look at me. May he, you know, therefore Bhaktisiddhanta said, don't act in such a way that you can see God, which means you, yes, I am perfectly doing this and all these details and so many notions of that. But act in such a way that God will see you. In other words, you know, hey, simple example. Parent says to children, go in your room and clean up your bedroom. Children comes out, starts doing the hula hoop. Look, mum, dad, look what I do. Go in your room and clean up your room. Comes out, jump and ball. Look, mum, dad, look what I can do. I said, go in your room and clean up your room. The parent really, you know, what is the relationship? If the child goes in there, cleans up the room, and goes, you did exactly what I wanted. The parents, it melts the parents' heart. You know, you did that to me. That was exactly what I wanted. You do so many other wonderful things. But who's it for? So, no, the love. What Krishna wants, is to do that. What should I love that?